Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Church is an awesome place. God is an awesome God. Jesus is an almighty Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our guide, our comforter, our intercessor. Oh. Aren't you glad about God and His plan for you? Amen? Amen. Well, we're in November. Wow. 6 days into November, would you believe? Tick, 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 tick for 2016. Moving along. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to sit down and actually think about where your year has been, what you've done, where it's gone? You'd be going, wow, what a year. It has been, wow, what a year, amen? Had some good days, had some not so good days, but you're still here, you're still praising King Jesus. That's got to be worth something, doesn't it? Amen. Well, you would have got your calendars last week. If you didn't get one last week, make sure you get one this week. There's a few things coming up. Connect groups started off last week. And the girls are going out Wednesday for Coffee Connect. So girls, if you haven't got your little invitation, make sure you've got one. Make sure you can be there. And if you can't be there, be square. That's, how old is that saying? How old are you? No. But if you'd like to attend, girls, it's a good time of year to just sit down, chill over some coffee, chat with the girls, and just enjoy each other's company. Tonight, being the first Sunday night of the month, there's no evening service, so whatever you do, don't turn up tonight at 5:30 because you might find the doors closed, and you can have a little church service out there if you like, but I don't plan to be here. One thing we didn't get on the calendar is the next men's shed night coming up on November the 17th, so the third Wednesday, November. Kicking off here, what time did we decide in the end? We'd done a 6:30 again. 6:30 here, Thursday, November the 17th. We'll get some flyers out to remind all you gentlemen. We can have a boys' night out, just like the girls can have a girls' coffee out. And look at that. How did the Thursday group go with that new series by Bill Johnson, tell me? Only fantastic. It's got to be better than fantastic. Awesome, that's more of a God word. Yes, so if you're not part of the Connect groups, we're both doing a study by Bill Johnson, and sad to say, Connect nights and Connect days are running out for this year, but we're going to draw so much out of this study. So please, if you're not part of a Connect group, put it in your diary. Say Tuesday night, 7:30 at Pastor Lynn Robbins' place, or 10 a.m. at the Thursday group. Come along, join in. It's one of those sessions you can pick up on, and if your group's anything like our group, it's pause. Let's reread that. Pause, let's rethink that. And we're having some amazing discussions out of that study. So if you want to be part of it, please, that's coming up. Also, can I just highlight the end of month prayer meeting? I want to start now. Because all of a sudden it'll be, this coming Wednesday night is prayer meeting. You go, I forgot all about it. I booked in other things. Can I say, it's on your calendar, it's got a little arrow next to it, Wednesday the 30th of November, church prayer meeting. Comes right at the end of Schoolies Festival, isn't that interesting? We'll be praying before that, I'm sure. But can we, as an end of year thing, come together as a church, commit to pray, not just for what's going to happen in our lives, but for the lives of others. I really believe that we're on just the verge of something dynamic within our community. I think the church has been built enough. I really believe that. I'm not saying numbers-wise, but in our hearts, we should be so equipped as the saints of God. We should be ready for whatever's going to outpour during these coming months. May not happen in 2016, but if we're not ready, we'll never be ready. So come along to the prayer meeting. Believe in God. and come with a heart to support. If you don't want to pray, just support, then amen. Come along with a scripture, a prophetic word perhaps, something like that. But I just really believe in the power of prayer meetings. I've been involved in prayer meetings over the years, and some come and go. But you know, even to this day, if somebody says to me, can we just spend some time in prayer? I'm in. Because prayer is such a powerful weapon that God has given us to pull down the power of the enemy, but to lift up the mighty work of Jesus. Amen? So I'm giving you plenty of notice. Wednesday, the 30th of November. Please, 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 mark it in your diaries. Let's have a record-breaking prayer meeting number-wise on the 30th of November. Can we? Thank you, four of you. Well done. Awesome. Also, while I remember, the latest Kenneth Copeland Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is out, hot off the press. If you want a copy of that, there's copies up there on the back desk. Again, it's an amazing read. I love it every month it comes out. And just the work that Copeland Ministries have done over the years and continue to do, rock solid foundational stuff. So if you don't subscribe to it, it's a free subscription. I'll mail you out a copy every month, free of charge. All you can do is sit down and enjoy that dynamic word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to take up the tithes and offerings now, friends. We're going to worship the Lord with our finances. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's really sent some move of the Holy Spirit over this place this morning. So we're praying out in the prayer room, and came in as Dennis was praying, and Rosemary read prophetically out of Ephesians over the church. I'd already felt that the Holy Spirit was going to move, not just over ones and twos, but actually up and down the aisles this morning. Don't know how to explain how I'm feeling at the moment. I'm allowed to have feelings. I'm not going to be guided by my feelings, but I just really believe that if you're open this morning, you're willing to have your life changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God Himself through the Holy Spirit, He will do that. Always. My heart every week is that nobody leaves this place the same as they come in. Something shifts. Something changes. Something moves within inside. You might be rock solid resistant this morning, and I sense that in prayer this morning. Some of you are going to listen to my message and say, oh, here he goes again. I've heard this so many times. I want to break that now in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says his word can change you. I'm only the delivery boy, and I've sweated over this sermon. I pondered it long and hard. How do I present, Lord, just this word? Word of God's just come into my heart. Just preach it as I give it to you. So this morning, we're going to study the subject of holiness, what that means as a church. I'm not going to start preaching yet, but I just want to break that power that holds this church back. Now, if you could only see what God's got planned, you could only get a touch, a glimpse, if you like, of what God can do through people just like you, every one of you. You know, I look over this congregation this morning, and whilst our numbers are few, I see the power of God just manifesting. I see the power of God just sitting inside you, waiting to bust loose. I just really sense this morning, this could be a morning where you are changed. Where you get a touch from the Holy Spirit like you never expected. You walk out of this place and you're about this high off the ground or more. Why? Because God is God. We don't come here to play church. We don't come here to do religious things. I've bound that work of religion in this place so many times. The Holy Spirit wants to come. He wants to just, as I said, move up and down these rows. Touch, touch, touch. Set free, transform. Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you right now for the power that is within us. Lord, it's not our power. It's your power. Jesus, when we accepted you as our Lord and Savior, we didn't do it so that so that you would be glorified. We did it so your Father would be glorified and your people, your church, would be empowered to make a change here on planet Earth through you. Lord, I think of the Apostle Paul when he got transformed on that journey that he was on to destroy the church. You shifted him and you said, Paul, I want you to be a builder of my church. I want you to be a transformer. I want you to transform your mental thinking, your physical state, your spiritual well-being. I want to turn you around, Paul. I want to show the world through the generations what I can do through the changing of a man or a woman's life. So, Lord, as a church this morning, we honor you. Lord, we bow down before you and we say, Lord, have your way in this place this morning. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus himself over this house. I come against religious spirits and doubt and unbelief. I come against pride. I come against knowledge and self-worth in your name. And God, in doing so, we release your power through the Holy Spirit to touch every one of us, to move us, to shake us. Some of us, Lord, need a good shake. Lord, do it because you're God. We honor that today. We respect that in you, God. We're not here to just play church. We're here to be your church. Lord, we know, Lord, what faithfulness is like. We know what it is to faithfully plant seed into the kingdom, to see change come. And so, Lord, as we bring these tithes and offerings to your kingdom, Lord God, see the multiplication factor work again and again and again, what you've done in the lives of individuals, what you've done through families, what you've done to us as a church in the area of sowing and reaping, Lord, is according to your word, the promises are yes and amen. So, Lord, receive not only the financial realm today. Lord, receive our spiritual worship with it too, Lord. Lord, we want you. Can't do it without you. We think we can. Sometimes we can for a season, but Lord, honestly, can't do it without you moving in our lives. So God, we thank you right now. Would you bless the sower? And I believe that's an abundant blessing, God. Lord, those who are not receiving that abundance, Lord, then let them experience that. As they sow with a good attitude, as they sow with a glad heart, as they thank you for your faithfulness by giving back that which you've apportioned us to give back. Lord, show them that you are God. Lord, for those who are receiving of these tithes and offerings, Lord God, businesses we support, Lord, through transactions, Lord, bless them. Bless those businesses that we support with our church finances. Bless those ministries, Lord God, that receive of these offerings, Lord God, to bring a change about in their lives. Bless the CEOs and the directors of those companies and ministries, Lord God, that receive of these blessed monies, because this money is anointed, God. It's not just dollars and cents, it's anointed seed. So Lord, we thank you right now that Jesus, you are Lord over every area in our lives. And Lord, if there's any area today that's not covered by your Lordship, I declare, Lord God, that we are open enough to receive of you. Open up those floodgates and come in. Flood us with your love. Flood us with your power. Flood us with that revelation of who you are. And if there's anyone in lack today, whatever that lack may be, Lord, fill that need. Fill that need, Lord God, to overflow so that these your people would know indeed today that you are God, the one true living God. We thank you now in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That was a long prayer over offering. Wow. There's something here that's going to shift your life. Praise is a wonderful thing. Worship is the next level. So I'm going to invite Trudy forward to lead us in a time of worship before we come around his word to look at that subject, holiness.
To me, that was the word of the Lord.
really was.
I just wanted to share a couple of things with you that happened to me through the week. Earlier in the week, I had a meeting with Prison Fellowship, and then I was working on a promotional brochure a couple of days later. And the thought that came to me is there is no hierarchy of sin. And subsequent to that, a couple of days later, I was helping somebody, and I had to take them to a doctor's appointment. And when we were coming back, I just felt to really encourage that person, and I said, if you can try to be more sanctified, God was going to really use you. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and do you think you're sanctified? And it was quite a shock in a way, because I was aware but I wasn't aware. And the Holy Spirit brought to my mind the story of Jacob and Esau, and he said, this person I see as Jacob. I love that person in spite of their faults. And we all have faults, and some are more visible than others. Some of us are very clever at hiding our faults, and some of us tend to show our faults more openly, and we judge those people and look at them and think, oh, well, they're not up to scratch. But we're no better. And the Holy Spirit said to me at that stage, while I don't see you as myself as Esau, you're certainly no Jacob. And so that's was really profound, to underline that sense of sanctification. We all need to be sanctified. And I've known for some time, the Holy Spirit said to me, if you want to exercise the power of the kingdom, you need the authority of the king. And to have the authority of the king, you need to be sanctified. And so it's extremely important. So I just want to share that with you. And just hope that blesses you. And just strive, as Pastor Lou brings the word on holiness. That's really... such a timely word, because we need to be holy before God. And if God's going to pour out his spirit, we need to be holy. Otherwise, we won't be able to exercise the power gifts of the kingdom. Bless you.
One of those mornings, I feel. As you said, the presence of the Holy Spirit in place. On, I'm not hearing myself. Is that better? We're on. Praise the Lord. That experience of knowing that you're in God's house, it's not a feeling, it's an experience. Knowing you're in God's house when you come to church, to me, is something we need to acknowledge long before we arrive at the front door here. We don't come here to do church. Come here because we love God. We want to show God how much we love him. By not just turning up, not just being here, but being a part of what God wants to do here in this house. And, you know, I spend a lot of time reading journals and leadership magazines and following political stuff, and apart from reading the Word, don't hear me wrong. And I hear the angst of the world, of what's going on at the moment, the little things that perhaps you don't pick up, the little things that perhaps don't mean a lot to you, but they mean so much to God. I look at the incident, as Rosemary's already pointed out, about the elections about to take place in America right now. A great turning point, not just for the nation of the United States of America, but for the world. So much hangs on the leadership that's about to take place in that nation. And I'm sure there's many Christians that are seeking the Lord. Lord, shall I vote? Shall I not vote? And if I'm going to vote, Lord, how would you have me vote? I've never seen elections so contrastingly similar in their opponencies. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. Do you pick this one because, or do you pick this one because? And so much is wrong on both sides of the parties. This whole nation's future is hinging. And I'm sure little Satan is down there rubbing his hands together and saying, here I go. This is the great nation of America, founded on God's word. On their money they still have in God we trust. Do they really? And then we come back into our local environment with our Senator Bob Day, Family First Party, having to resign through the collapse of his building company. And the unfolding of stuff behind that. I'm not saying that Bob Day has gone out of his way to deceive and cheat people. I'm not saying that at all. Just the opposite. But what I'm saying is, a man who loves God, a man who's based his whole business on the favor of God and what God's given him. And it's going to be torn down. It's going to be ridiculed. It's going to be mocked. It's going to be made fun of. And then I come to this house. God speaks to me about teaching on holiness. You know, I care for every church on the South Coast. I care for every church that proclaims Jesus as Lord, that preaches the Word of God without compromise. But God's placed me here in this place to show you and to teach you and to share with you what God wants for you. You know, a few weeks' time I'm going to be at the Church of Christ, Victor Harbour. I'm believing God for just an anointed word that's going to set that place free. Not for my glory, not so people can follow me, but so they can turn back to God. I'm not saying they've turned away from God, but there seems to be a turning that, you know, we're almost torn between God and other things in our lives. But right here today, God wants me to share with you on this subject matter called holiness. I wonder how much you really think about the fact that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, your eternity is guaranteed, it's assured in Christ and through the death of Jesus on the cross. But how much further have you gone with your walk, with what God has got planned for you while you're still here on planet Earth? Coming up to Christmas time, you probably realize that. There's going to be a whole lot of children and grandchildren and, you know, nieces and nephews that are going to get presents for their Christmas. And down the bottom of some of those boxes, it's going to say, batteries not included. You ever bought one of those presents? And as the child unwraps it, you suddenly realize, I forgot the batteries. As I'm preparing this message this morning, God's saying that sometimes we forget the batteries in our walk with God. Sometimes we think salvation is just it and a bit, and that's all there is until Jesus returns or Jesus calls us home. How about you? But the more time I spend with God, the more time like Dennis, I realize that there's a long way to go. But whilst I consider myself a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit still challenging me about things in my life that perhaps aren't matching up with His Word. Let me share some statistics with you. It comes out of America by the George Barna Group, and I know Pastor Phil mentioned that last week, but let me just share some of the things about the American people. 59% do not believe in Satan. 59%. 51% believe praying to dead saints is beneficial. 35% believe you can communicate with the dead. 50%, half of the Church of America that was researched, believe that salvation is earned. It's not a gift. 75%, three quarters of the church people in America, believe that people are born neither good nor evil. They make a choice between the two as they mature. Sounds like a great belief system, doesn't it? 44%, nearly half the Church of America, believe that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are all different expressions of the same truth. Nearly half. 54% believe truth can only be discovered through logic, human reasoning, and personal experience. Scary to statistics, if you're into statistics. It challenges me as to what I would say to some of these people if they would ask me those sort of questions. How would I answer? What would my response internally and then externally be? Got your Bibles this morning? Let's start in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 18. Talking about me in this verse. I don't know where they got the scripture from. It says, yes, even when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not. The Amplified says, but keep me alive. I like that. Until I have declared your mighty strength to this generation, and your might and your power all that are to come. Keep me alive, God. Why do I need to be kept alive? Because I have a message. You have a message. We have a message that the generations around us and generations to come will not be hearing unless you and I are the proclaimers of that word. You and I. You and I have a responsibility before the Lord to make sure this generation does not just know about God, but they enter into a relationship with God that takes them further and further and further out of this earthly realm and into the heavenly realm where we're meant to be. Amen? I'm not saying you're getting older and you're going to get closer to dying. No, I want us to walk in that fullness excuse me, that God's got planned for us here on earth. Amen? People from one generation to the next who say they are born again and have had a born again experience. You want some more statistics? Probably not, but I'm going to share them with you. 65% of the builders, those born between 1910 and 1946, 65%, two-thirds of believers have had a born-again experience. That means one-third of people going to church, one-third of people who call themselves Christians have never been born again. What does the Bible say about that? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of spirit and of water, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I'm thinking these are real statistics. Those born between 1910 and 1946, 65%, two-thirds of those people have had a born-again experience. Let's move to the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964. That was a good group of people. 35% of believers have experienced the born-again experience. We've gone from two-thirds to one-third. Except the man be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. If you can't see, you can't enter. The religious leader said to Jesus, "How can a man enter again into his mother's womb?" John chapter 3, you read it. Jesus said, it's talking about your spirit man. All right, the next group of people, the busters, 1965 to 1976, 15% of believers are born again. 15%, 15 out of every 100 buster, those born between 1965 and 1976. Stop and think what the church has been doing, doesn't it? Then we get to the millennials, the Gen Xers, the bridges, as they're sometimes called. Wow, we need revival. We need more than revival. We need that great awakening that Billy Brim spoke. We were at Queensland when she spoke about that. We don't need revival, she said. We need a great awakening. The church needs a great awakening. The individual needs a great awakening. Thank you for sharing that, Rosemary. 4%. Those born after 1977, only 4% of believers say they've had a born-again experience. Wow, God. Attenders. Believing believers or just church attenders? That's the difference. But God's calling us. Can I bring it back to home here? God is calling us. Friends, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but He's calling us, this local flock, to a place that goes beyond just being saved, to a place where we can be an example to our community. An example. That means after church on Sunday, you still are little Jesus people walking around. That means when you transact business across a counter, a good transaction or a not so good transaction, a transaction that's going your way or not going your way, you are still Christ to those people. You are still the only connection between them and God that they may ever experience. Friends, I hate to say it, but I hear some stuff, I see some stuff, not just on the grapevine, not just rumors, first hand about the way believers live their lives Monday through to Saturday, and yet we all turn up to church so holy. Do. We should. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, behold, he is a new creation. The old is past, the new has come." Salvation. Salvation is a wonderful thing. It brings you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. It brings you out of a hopeless situation into a place of hope and future. It takes you out of a place where there was no future, no plan, no purpose that would carry you through to eternity, to a place where you can rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. How good it is to be saved. Amen? I want to talk about three little things, and then I want to talk about seven major things to do with holiness. The three little things are simply this: grab it, go for it, and give it. Grab it, go for it, and give it. Holiness, you probably haven't considered it, maybe ever. Perhaps not this week, perhaps not for years. What that means to be holy. I'm not talking about angelic little Christians flying around with their little halos up there for everyone to see and their little wings for everyone to notice. And we're so angelic in the way we do things and so polite. Jesus was never like that.
Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. That same call is on every born-again believer's commission plate today. Every born-again believer. Amen? And if you're born again, that might seem harsh, there he goes again sort of attitude. But friends, this is the truth of God's word. This is not me. I have sweated over this because, like Dennis, Holy Spirit is speaking to me about way I conduct my life, not just every now and again, not just when people are looking, but every minute of my existence. Amen? Romans 6. Follow with me, please. Romans chapter 6. You see, your definition of holy may not line up with God's definition of holy. One of the things I come against again and again and again is this spirit of religion over Christians' lives. A spirit of religion. We go around with our judgmental little collars on and we point our little finger at the way the world's doing things. But unfortunately, when you point one finger, three point back. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saying, Lou, is your life in order? I'm using me as the example this morning. I don't want to get accused of pointing a finger at anyone else. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is instructed by the Holy Spirit to write to the church in Rome. And in verse 6 and 7, this is what he says. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might be no longer slaves of sin. For when a man dies, he is free, loosed, delivered from the power of sin, the Amplified says, among men. We must know, if you've never read this passage before, Paul is saying we know. I don't know how many Christians do know, but from this point on, you now know. Say after me, I know. Of course you know, because you just read it. We know that our old, unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him. I often say that he had you on his mind when he was hanging on the cross. He had you, he had me, he had us, every one of us on his mind. That sickness that the doctor diagnosed over you, Jesus allowed himself to be hung on the cross for you to be set free from that sickness. That debt you owe, Jesus, while he was hanging on that cross, said, I'm hanging here for that debt over you. So in saying that, whilst he had you on his mind, you were actually there with him, nailed to that cross, but you didn't have to pay the price because he had already paid it. I love this little word, in order that. Our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with you. Your dark, sin-filled nature, that's that part of that weight that he carried on the cross, was with him on that cross in order that our body, your body, my body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. Ineffective and inactive for evil. Picture that right now. But according to the promise of God, through this scripture, Holy Ghost-inspired scripture that Paul writes to the church, he says, we know these things. I love verse 7 because it follows straight on. For when a man dies, he is freed from the power of sin. It's no longer you that live. Christ who lives within. You're a dead man dead woman walking. The old you is gone. The old is gone. We read that out of 2 Corinthians. So let's consider holiness this morning. Let's consider what that would mean to you and I in 2016 and beyond. How do you consider living your life now that you're born again? Now that you're found in Christ? Can you really exist in two worlds? Can you play both sides of the fence and still pronounce to be found in Christ? The truth of the answer is, friends, we can't. And yet we do. We pronounce things like, Christ in me, the hope of glory. My body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet our response sometimes, our reaction sometimes, our day-to-day living sometimes is not what Jesus would be saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's all be honest this morning. Let's not all put our halos up higher than the person next to us and say, ah, not talking about me. My Bible tells me all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm not saying we're sinners. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we doing in that salvation? Amen? And if you really don't want to live in Christ, if you want to play that game of, Lord, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And when I'm living in this world, I have to behave like the world will accept me. Friends, are you really saved? And as a member of the kingdom of God, as a son of the king, I have ears to hear in my community just like you do. I have choices to make every day of my life as to what I listen to, what I watch, what I speak. Who I hang around. Jesus was made famous because he was a friend of sinners. Yes, amen. He didn't become a friend of sinners to be a sinner. He became a friend of sinners to make sinners holy, sanctified, righteous. Amen? You see, salvation will never be heart, head knowledge. It will always be a heart transformation. And while we're being governed by this worldly influence in our head, and again, the teaching we're receiving through Bill Johnson and over the years, Joyce Meyer and all the great men and women of God that have pointed us to the Word about it's not actually happening in here, that's where the world invades us, but what happens in here is what flows out of the issues of life. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. There's so much in the Word of God that's concerned about our heart. You see, salvation will never be a head transplant. Sorry, a head transformation. It will always be a heart transplant. Out with the old black, stony heart, in with a heart of flesh. Amen? Come on. Chuck Colson writes this in his book, Loving God. Holiness is the everyday business of every Christian. Full stop. It evidences itself in the decisions we make and the things we do, hour by hour, day by day. Holiness is the everyday business of every Christian. Come with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. I hope this is not going to bore you, because I tell you what, it's challenging me. I have sweated over this sermon, believe me, and I don't say that to brag on me. I'm nervous. I'm anxious for breakthrough. Trust in God that this word will come through as an encouragement, not a put down. Because I'm in this with you. I'm not the holy, most reverend Pastor Lewis Keith Saunders of the Gospel Center, Christian Gospel Center, George Main Road, Victor Harp. I'm Lou Saunders, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm being led by His Holy Spirit. And as He clips me around the ear some days, He says, Lou, really, are you listening? No, I'm really not. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to change. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. Live as children of obedience to God. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy as I am holy. Not an automatic, is it? Did you feel a rush of holiness this morning when I announced that I was going to speak on holiness? Did you just get overwhelmed with a flood of, it's okay, you've already arrived? I certainly didn't. Pastor Robin said as I walked in, you doing all right? I said, I'm doing great. But in me, I'm going, Lord, you're going to have to be with me on this one. This is the love letter here. This is not a reprimand to children. This is a love letter. Verse 14, live as children of obedience to God. Then there's an answer. Here's an out. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. Oh, Mr. Self-Made Banker. I could tell you some stuff. Do you know you stop learning? You stop growing? I think it was Tony asked the question the other day, are we still children of God? The answer is yes. We'll always be children of God. He doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have any stepchildren. He only has kids. As old as we are, we're still God's kids. He's still our father. He'll never be our grandfather because we're just his kids. Whether you be a boomer, a buster, a millennium, or whoever you are, you're his kid. Live as children. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance when you did not know the requirements of the gospel. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. Amen? King James says, be holy in all manner of conversation. You know, that conversation can be inside sometimes, long before it gets outside. I'll sit down and watch that television program. Nobody will know that I'm watching it. Oh, there's that word again. Oh, there it is again. Oh, well, I'm used to hearing that all day long. It's only a movie. You're invading God's space with unholiness. You and I have got to make decisions. Can I say it point blank today? As God's children. Anyone God's children? All of us. We live holy, and we live holy lives because He is holy. How can you have this as a temple of the Holy Spirit if this is not a holy dwelling place? How can we declare this to be the house of God that we come to if we're allowing bingo games and yoga classes and so much other stuff to infiltrate this glorious sanctuary? I'm going to start, and I'm obviously not going to finish, on the seven C's of holiness. If you want to take them down this morning, looks like we're back here next week. The first one is consecration. Ooh, sounds like a holy word in itself. The second one is complete reality. The third one is continual process. The fourth one is choice. The fifth one is control over sin. The sixth one is connection. The seventh will be next week, condition of heaven. So let's start with number one. Always a good place to start. Holiness is consecration. Holiness literally means to be set apart to God. And sanctification is simply the process of being made holy. This theory, keep it simple, sweetheart. To be set apart to God. Be ye holy as He is holy. Sanctification, to be separated from the world and consecrated to God. Still going to live here? Nobody flies home to heaven after the service, spend the week there and come back Sunday? Pretty tainted world, isn't it? A lot of unclean, a lot of unsavory, a lot of stuff that we shouldn't even be around. But you might be the messenger, woman or man, that the world is waiting for. Your attitude, your response, your way of living may be something that people are looking towards and looking into in order that they can live the life you proclaim to live. I believe holiness and sanctification are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. But putting it simply, sanctification is how God makes you holy, and holiness is the result of God's work of sanctification in your life. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. You can still have your Bibles open there. It says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated, that means sanctified, made holy by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ the Messiah and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be given to you in increasingly abundance. Amen. Chosen and foreknown by God through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, obedience to Christ and sprinkling by His blood. It's the Holy Spirit, friends, that sanctifies us and makes us holy. Only through the work of Holy Spirit in our lives are we consecrated and set apart to God. And you think about this. In the book of John, Jesus prepares His then disciples for the coming of Holy Spirit. He said, it's to your advantage that I go. Hang on, I never get that line. To your advantage that I go, but Jesus, you've only just started off this mission program. Surely the miracles are still out there to be done. Jesus says, but I'll ask the Father and He will send Holy Spirit to you. Another counselor, another comforter, just like me. And He will be with you always. It doesn't matter whether you're out there screaming for the crows, sitting in your lounge room, go and say, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. Whether you're sitting in your prayer closet reading the Word, whether you're sitting through a difficult transaction across a counter or across a business transaction, Holy Spirit's there with you always. Can I say it this way? Always and in everything. Step aside, Holy Spirit. This one's for me. Step aside, Holy Spirit. I can handle this. Truth be known, friends, without Holy Spirit in us, we can't handle squat. Amen? Come on, talk to me. It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's His work in us. You and I cannot consecrate ourselves, and you and I cannot make ourselves holy. We can try. Oh. I hear angelic voices every time I go to bed. Oh. Why do you think we ask God favor, grace, mercy upon us as we put our heads on the pillow to sleep? Why do you think we thank Him for the day we've had, and when we wake up, thank Him in advance for the day we're about to have? I can't make myself holy. I can pretend. But pretending is not going to make me holy. You know, your parents, your partner, your husband, your wife, your kids, not even your pastor, not even your eldership, not even your greatest mentor can make you holy or consecrate you. Consecration and holiness is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number two, holiness is a complete reality. A complete reality. God has made you holy. Who has? God has made you holy. Through faith in Jesus, and receiving of His blood for you, shed for you, you've been sanctified, set apart unto God, and made holy. The moment you were saved, it was a completed deal. His life for your sin. Paid in full. No matter what sin you had, Jesus said on that cross, paid in full. Done deal. Complete reality. Whom the Son sets free is sometimes free, is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. You are no longer slaves to sin. Haha. Picture a slave. Picture even more deeply a slave to sin, locked in, bowing down, serving the master. Jesus said, you are no longer a slave to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says this: Christ Jesus is the one who made us acceptable to God. Good, isn't it? Christ Jesus is the one who made you, who made me, who made us acceptable to God. Imagine what you looked like in that sin-filled nature. Oh, but I was a good boy, Pastor Lou. I never did anything. I was just a good person. You were a sinner. You just didn't know it. And in the sight of God, you were black. You were the darkness of hell itself. But the moment you stepped into Christ, you were washed white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. And you became acceptable in God's sight. Ah, no longer a slave, but now a son. No longer a sinner, but now a child of God. Amen? It's a reality. It's a reality. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Let me finish it. Christ Jesus is the one. The one. The one. There's no other one like that one. Come on, smile at me. He's the one. You know, there's a television program on. Are you the one? No, there's only one. I look at that when it comes up. And I go, really? I know the one. Christ Jesus is the one. who made us acceptable to God. He made us pure and holy, and he gave himself to purchase our freedom. New Living Translation. He made us pure. He made us holy. He made us acceptable to his Father, and he gave himself to purchase our freedom. If I can ask the communion stewards now to start to begin to distribute the emblems, I want to just finish on point two. Jesus did not leave his work incomplete, unfinished, to be finalized. Jesus completed the work to make us holy before God, right there on the cross. Right there on the cross. Come on. Life complete in him. 2000 and whatever, you gave your life to Jesus. 19 and whatever it was in the church, in a situation, perhaps at a Billy Graham campaign. I don't know where your experience was in Christ. At that moment, you gave your life to Christ. The Bible says heaven stops and celebrates. One more soul out of darkness into his wonderful light. But your name was then written into the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life because Jesus paid that price in its fullness, in its completeness. No unfinished business. Done deal. The reality is you're in Christ. Amen. At the time of the cross, regardless of what sin nature you were in, whether you were just a mild sinner, a little sinner, or whether you were a monumental sinner, in God's eyes it didn't matter. Because when you put your faith in Jesus the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, his death made you holy. When you accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, his death made you holy. Up to that point, your separation from God was going to be for eternity. It wasn't God's plan, it was your plan. The reality is that you gave your life to Jesus. You surrendered everything that you are. All sin is equally evil to God. All sin. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter whether you're really bad or just mildly bad, or even just good. Jesus' death paid the price for all sinners to be made holy.